Wake up, rethink the status quo. When you get your money right, then you're the one who runs your life. Come build a wealthy spirit with Sammy and Michelle.
Michelle, you may have heard that no man ever steps in the same river twice. For it is not the same river, and he is not the same man.
Ah, yes, I have heard that quote, Sammy.
And that reminds me of today's topic, post-sabbatical work options.
Ooh.
You might have some ideas for what you think you want to do after your sabbatical, pre-sabbatical. And let me tell you, that person is not even you anymore at the end of sabbatical.
That is so true, Sammy. The quote could almost be, a person does not enter the same workforce twice. Post-sabbatical.
Oh, so true.
Because you are not the same person.
And the work is not the same work.
Let's get into it. But first, oh, Sammy, I'm very excited to talk about our partner today, AirHelp, because guess what happened to us this weekend? Yes.
We were trapped.
We were trapped in Dallas, Texas, flying from one coast to another, grounded, delayed, planed, deplaned, trained, detrained. Oh, I experienced it all. That's not interesting. The interesting thing is that we are guaranteed air passenger rights, and I don't have any more time to give to the airlines on the phone. I think I called them already 5 times this weekend. Hey, you know what? We got our stuff moved around. It was totally fine, but we have a hotel that we would love to be compensated for. I don't know what they can give us, but that's why I want to use AirHelp. With AirHelp, you can give them your information, your boarding pass information, and they will go and they will go talk to the airlines on your behalf and see if there is compensation owed to you. This is actually so helpful because the truth is, like Sammy said, we are not flying without issue these days. There always seems to be something that comes up. Luckily for us, it's not a door falling off the plane. To be honest, I don't know if AirHelp handles that. Maybe, who knows? The point is that you only pay if they're able to give you some compensation. And really, the time you save is worth it because, yes, I want to figure out what's going on, but I also don't want to have to be on the phone all day with the airlines. So use our link in the show notes if you have, I don't know, say was flying through Dallas this weekend. I hope there are no issues in your flight, but it seems like these days it's good to be prepared. Back to our topic. Sammy, as you know, and as listeners of this podcast know, I recently wrapped up my sabbatical course, Turn Your Layoff into a Sabbatical. And what surprised me was that, yes, we are talking about moving into a sabbatical, but there were so many questions about what do you do after the sabbatical? When do you start thinking about it? A big question being, how do you approach work after you've taken time off? And I thought that would be something that both of us could speak to because we've both sort of thought about this in unconventional ways. And I think we've both realized that we are not the same women in the same river anymore.
So true. In fact, the question, how do you approach work after sabbatical, seems a little jobby mindset to me. Because once you enter a sabbatical, you understand that each day is different and you can't predict it.
Time is beautiful and we are given a limited amount of it. That was the biggest shift for me because when I was in the jobby mindset, I was like, what's my title? What's my role? What's my compensation? And now, after having the freedom of time, I'm really trying to optimize for that.
Even though you can't predict who you're going to be, and maybe you're towards the end of a sabbatical or taking a work break right now and you're trying to think, what do I want to do after this is done? We can still lay out the different things to consider when you're thinking about working after a sabbatical. Like Michelle said, time is a huge one. Once you're on sabbatical, you have a huge appreciation for your time. So a lot of times when you're thinking about returning back to work, you're not necessarily looking at that same 40-hour work week. Another thing to consider is income. Maybe before sabbatical, you really cared about having a high income. Maybe after your sabbatical, you just want to make sure that you have enough to pay your bills. Or maybe vice versa. You're like, hey, if I get a job that makes a lot of money, that means I can take another sabbatical in a year or two.
Maybe, like me, Sammy, you like location flexibility. Being remote is an option for so many people these days, for everybody, really. It just depends on what type of job you want to do. Some people, as part of that, want to travel. Maybe you want your work to be a part of your travel. Some people go and ski for half the year and they want to be able to optimize for that. That's something to consider too.
Another thing is an unconventional schedule. That could be working part-time, that could be working for a few months a year, that could be working a different shift. An unconventional schedule can give you some more freedom sometimes as well.
And we don't want to forget interest. Yes, we don't necessarily think you have to turn your job into a passion, but maybe there's something different you want to pursue, or maybe you really liked your last job. Those are things where you're like, hey, I'm interested in this and I want to work or learn more about this space. That's something to consider as well, too.
It's funny because Cal Newport talks a lot about how millennials were raised with this idea that your career should fulfill your purpose, your life purpose. It's funny because as a millennial, I think I don't even recognize that maybe other generations thought of work as something that wouldn't fulfill your life purpose. But now being on sabbatical, I can really appreciate how that's kind of skewed. You know, work is not going to fulfill your life purpose. Work isn't your friends and family and your loved one. It's not your relationships. So in a lot of ways, work isn't going to fill that life purpose bucket for a lot of people.
It's true, Sammy. Even for us, if we go one generation back, I think our parents were thinking of work very differently, not necessarily optimizing for, say, purpose.
All these options remind me of my own post-sabbatical work journey. Before I took my sabbatical, I think I had a very strong inclination that I might take some sort of PA role.
In the small town, even.
Yeah, maybe even in the small town. Like when I left, I was like, maybe, you know, keep the door open. I could come work for a few months here and there. Now that I'm on sabbatical, my appreciation for my time is like exponential. Because I truly appreciate like having lived off of the money that I saved. I'm like, money is actually not the major factor. Like I actually have enough money. I've been saving. I have a nest egg.
But still manifesting abundance.
Still manifesting abundance. Because if you give me a lot of money, God, I will use it in a very responsible way. But at the same time, not to sacrifice time. Absolutely not to sacrifice time. That is one of my major things is like, I'm not going to sacrifice time. And then I think about my post-sabbatical work options and I'm like, hey, well, a big one is I want to be able to make sure I meet the requirements for my loan forgiveness. Nonprofit, 30 hours a week. Doesn't matter what kind of job it is.
Oh, Sammy, good point. We should also add that to our consideration list. If you have loan forgiveness and your job is tied to that,
yes.
That is very important to consider as well.
A very niche example, but a lot of people have student loans, so this could be realistic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of people who listen to this also work in healthcare, so that applies so heavily with the PSLF.
It's funny because now when I look at getting a job, I see my schedule and I'm like, oh, in June, I'm going to be gone on vacation for about a week. And then in July, we have our cousin's wedding for a week. And I'm like, if I have a job where I am not able to work 30 hours a week, one of those weeks in that month no longer qualifies unless I'm a full-time employee and I'm getting PTO or whatever. And so in that case, I'm very particular about not working months that are not going to qualify anyway, because there's no reason to work that whole month in that case.
Sam, looking at our list then, what would you say are your top three priorities?
Top priority, nonprofit. That would be it. And then I want something that doesn't take up a ton of time. I only have to work 30 hours a week for loan forgiveness. So ideally something along those lines. I know that not every job's going to have that option, but that would be great.
And I would like to let people know your old job, it was go to work, come home from work, do your notes, wake up, finish your notes, make calls that you need to make, go back to work. So when you say time is important, you used to work literally every single hour of the day that you were not sleeping.
And sleep was taking up too much time, to be honest. After that, I think flexibility would be great because I see some jobs that are like, you can do this job whatever hours you'd like. And then work 1 month, not work a month, work another month, not work a month. That would be awesome for me because that would accommodate for things like travel. Because if I have a job where it's like I'm working all year and I get 2 weeks off, that's going to completely change the schedule and the lifestyle that I currently have.
I like that, Sammy. For myself, I would say my biggest things are interest. I'm in a point where I'm exploring and I would like to follow my interest and be able to learn and grow. Income. I'm at a point also, you know, kind of 3 years into this non-traditional work, pathless path, sabbatical life. More money is amazing. And also, I don't want to work for free. These are things that are top of mind for me. Location flexibility is definitely a big one too, and the unconventional schedule. I love that right now I can work from wherever, and it's mostly async. I don't necessarily have to sit in a meeting.
See that? What she just did there, async? This is something people like me, maybe other healthcare professionals, like people are using hip words like async, like people just know what that means. I'm assuming it means asynchronous. But this is the kind of stuff I deal with Michelle all the time.
This is what happens as soon as you go back into the workforce. You're like, speak the new language, the lingo. Like definitely a million people said async to me and I was like, async. And now I use it and I'm not even entirely sure I'm using it correctly.
You're like async, full-time, FTEs, what?
Now, what do some of these options look like? We're going to highlight a few and then dig into the ones that are interesting to us. First and foremost, you might leave your work working for somebody else and decide, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I really want to try and see if I can build a business for myself, which I think is super cool.
It's funny because entrepreneurship is one that sounds so jazzy. Am I right? There's a jazziness to it. And one thing I realized as soon as I got on sabbatical is I do not want to be an entrepreneur.
Sammy hates entrepreneurship.
I hate it. It's not my personality. I like somebody else doing like all the logistics as far as
everything.
HR, payroll. I like health insurance, all that stuff. And being an entrepreneur is like 0% exciting to me. That's not my interest.
There's also freelance and contract options. You have the opportunity to not work full-time hours now. If that's something you weren't doing before, for example, I work freelance. I have a few different communities that I support at different times of the year. It's so lovely because I can really go into a hyper-focused time. Like right now, I'm working a little bit more than I usually do, and I love that. And then I will take a break, and I don't have to worry as much. The only consideration there is you do have to be mindful of your own healthcare.
Some other options could be working part-time, working per diem, working a few months a year. This is something that's appealing to me because there are a lot of healthcare and nonprofit options that allow you to work like this. And it would still meet all my goals. So that's a great way to not have all your time sucked.
Yeah. I mean, we saw that growing up. Our mom's a nurse and she had all of these cool options. Maybe not necessarily she was doing part-time and per diem, but she could do 12 hours and work less days a week. So there's ways to be creative with your time.
Yes. Gigs is another one. And gigs, I'm not going to lie, even though I'm mainly looking for a nonprofit 30 hours a week, in those months where I'm like, I might not be able to work, if someone's like, here's a gig, stand at this kiosk and I'll pay you like $15 an hour. I'm like, sure, like free money. I mean, not free money, but you know, I like having a little extra cash, makes me feel better. So gigs are another option.
Yeah.
Just like one-time things or like happens occasionally that you can make some money doing it. Totally good option as far as post-sabbatical work.
Yeah. You can do Uber, Lyft, walk dogs. There are so many options now with the gig economy. There's so many options with apps. You can go on Craigslist and find stuff. There are a lot of opportunities in the gig category.
The last thing is apprenticeship.
Yes.
Maybe your job is teaching you how to do something that you want to do in the future.
I really feel like this now, Sammy. It's not something I thought I was optimizing for, but when I was talking about my interest, one thing I like about working for Small Bets, Rite of Passage, the Pathless Path Group, is that I got to work with these people who they have grown their following, they've grown a community, they're teaching people how to do things like writing or building their own businesses. And watching them, I've learned so much. People now ask me about community building and building courses. And when I launched my own course, I could pull from those learnings. I learned how to facilitate meetings through Rite of Passage. I got to practice that when I was in Small Bets. I got to see how Daniel in Small Bets builds community. So I really feel like those opportunities, yes, they paid me. Yes, they were flexible. But really, I learned so much that I can apply to my future. And the people I work with really support me in those endeavors too. Something I just didn't feel the same when I was in a W-2 job.
This is interesting because this is one of those, if you move towards your highest excitement, things appear for you.
Yes.
You took Small Bets, a class about putting out little things and seeing if they make money because you were interested in it. You took Rite of Passage because you love writing. Then those things led to jobs, which were also exciting for you. So I think there's something to be said about moving towards the things that you like to do, because I think this is something to consider, especially if you're trying to move towards something that's more aligned with your interests.
Exactly. Especially when you're on a sabbatical, I encourage you to do free experiments. What are things that are just exciting to you? Because for me, what I found is that I started to see opportunities everywhere and receive so many opportunities because I was just starting to do the things that came naturally to me that I was interested in. And I just have been much more successful than I was in sales. Yes, in sales, I put in the time, I learned a lot, but I could tell there were other people who are more excited about those opportunities that were rocket ships while I was sort of steadily growing, trying to figure out how it works. So I think following your highest excitement, it doesn't necessarily have to be monetized, but I do think that's the place where you're going to find the most success.
Takeaways.
Takeaways for this episode. When you're thinking about work after your sabbatical, consider the following: time, income, location flexibility, the schedule, maybe you want an unconventional schedule, and your own interests. And if you're like me, you might want to consider student loan forgiveness. You want to make sure you check that box.
Exactly, Sammy. And I think the reason we want to highlight so many different options for people, entrepreneurship, freelance contract work, remote work, part-time per diem, gigs, apprenticeship, all of these we want to highlight for people because you might be in a situation where you are working the same type of job for the last 10, 20, 15, 30 years. And it's good to explore different options. Like we were saying, you are not the same person stepping in the same corporate workplace. For a lot of people, COVID changed things. Technology has changed things. AI has changed things. So keep in mind that you should check in with yourself and see if there are different options that might work better for what you're looking for.
Community time.
Before we say goodbye, it's our community time.
Sammy, it's so funny that AirHelp is our partner because we were grounded in Dallas, y'all. Like,
and not the new agey, like your electrons are being put into like the dirt. Like we were trapped, you know, we were trapped.
We were trapped. We shouldn't have even gone there, but we couldn't even get through the system fast enough between our flight getting delayed and trying to figure out what to do. But the thing I was reflecting back to Sammy, especially when you're in a situation where everybody is having the same problem with flying, it's so relevant and important to you in that moment that you are having travel issues. And it is the least interesting story to share with other people. Like,
this
I don't know.
This is the least interesting. And I don't know. I think it's because it's like not visual. Like, something about these plane delay stories, even though it's like such a nightmare when you're in it, least interesting story.
Literally, it all goes the same way. You know, you start off, you're like, I was about to get on the plane. I thought, oh my God, here I am about to go home. And then this happened. And then they got delayed.
Then we got on the plane. Then we got off the plane. Then we had to wait another 20 minutes. And I called the airlines and I was on hold for 2 hours. Then I continued waiting. Then I decided to get on the plane. Then I got over there.
Literally.
Then the gate changed 4 times. First it was A18, then I had to get on the tram. It's like nobody cares. Nobody
you
cares.
You like know it, but you like have to get it out of your system because you're going through this quote unquote terrible thing and it's so inconvenient for you. But it's so funny. And then I feel like the worst response to that is somebody being like, oh yeah, that reminds me of the time. And the next thing you know, you're swapping stories that nobody cares about. Because we all can sort of empathize with the travel problems. But yeah, you're right, Sammy. It's just a list of logistical problems. There's no real like color. And so it was funny to be like just hear this so many different times. People trying to one up themselves. Like when we were actually in Dallas, it's like this person was like, oh my gosh, we had this terrible, like we came from Miami. It took us all day. I'm like, girl, Dallas has been grounded. This was in our line where none of us had our luggage. And I was like, well, we are still not at our home. And this other one was like, I heard a man was coming from Japan. I heard people doing it in different languages. They were
like I heard people on the phone in different languages talking, but you can tell they're talking about the delay.
Like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah,
delay, blah, 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 blah.
Yes. So you have so much open time. You're just like in the gate, like, oh, now I have 5 hours. How many people can I vent to about this? So, yes, don't vent to us. Go to AirHelp. Do something like that instead.
Yes, a lesson in storytelling.
So true. shout outs from our community.
Big shout out to our listener, Carla. Carla has gotten her student loans completely forgiven.
Woo!
That is right. She is about the third person who has personally messaged me regarding this and gotten their loans completely forgiven. This is game changing. And if you guys are interested in student loan forgiveness, we have an episode on that. Important note, because this episode is coming out April 23rd. April 30th is the last day to consolidate your loans with the government. This is important for people who may have worked a nonprofit job before they got one of their degrees. So for me, I worked as a nurse assistant before I went to PA school. That time where I worked as a nurse assistant can still count towards your entire student loan balance for forgiveness if you consolidate your loans. So it's not necessarily for everybody, but in those specific situations, it's really important. And if this is confusing for you, check out our episode or post a comment on our page. I am happy to help out. This is like my passion. I read the fine print on this like all the time, weekly. I'm watching videos from Travis Hornsby from Student Loan Planner. This is how I get my jolly. So please contact me. I will help you. I will be so happy if your student loans get forgiven. So please let me help.
This is Sammy's passion, buildawealthyspirit.com. Let us know too if you have any wins. If you have a money win, especially related to this podcast, but in general, it doesn't have to be inspired by us. Buildawealthyspirit.com. We would love to share your money wins next week on our podcast.
And most importantly, be sure to join us next week as we put down the rule book and we rethink the status quo.